Put up the book of Ephesians 5. If you don't have a Bible, just follow along on the screen. Ephesians 5, 20 and 21. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Lord, just coming before you this morning, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house to worship you. Thank you for bringing us out into a warm building on a cold morning. Just thank you for the number that made it out this morning. Let's be with the ones that aren't here due to elements or traveling. Let's be with them. Give us this week as we look to Thanksgiving, look to the blessings that you've given us over this last year. Lord, help it not to be a one-week in the year thing, that we be grateful and thankful for what you've given us, but be a every day, every moment thing for the blessings you give us. Lord, we just be with us this morning as we open up your word, as Pastor Brian opens up your word to the book of Ephesians, and help us to be open to your leading in our lives, Lord. It's a familiar passage, but help us to be attentive to what you would have for us this morning. And praise your son's name. Amen.
You may be seated. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We are going to continue our series in the book of Ephesians. We have been in Ephesians this year, working on the 6 chapters of the book, and what an amazing blessing it has been to be able to reflect upon our need of a reset, and that Jesus Christ changes everything, and that Jesus Christ is the manufacturer's original settings. If we want to know what we are to look like, we are to look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. It is in him we see the picture of who we are to emulate. It is in him that we see the changes in our own life that are needed. As we see how he loved others, treated others, responded to others, even his enemies, we also should learn. So we've been asking for the past year for Jesus to reset our heart, reset our mind, reset our hands, and reset our voice. We saw in the first 3 chapters of the book of Ephesians that Jesus was resetting our heart and our mind. Those were very doctrinal passages, passages laying a foundation for the relational change that he wants to see take place in our life. Not only with him, but also with our fellow man. But then, the last little bit, we've been looking at the last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, which are dealing with the changing of the voice and the hands. See, if our heart changes, it will affect the way we think. If the way we think changes, it will affect what we say. And if what we say changes, it will then begin to affect how we use our daily lives, our hands. That's where we're at. So with that in mind, let's keep in mind that we are to, in this passage, we've been in chapter 5, been looking at the wisdom that is offered to us in God's word, and we are to watch where we walk. In other words, chapter 5 and 6 are all about the warning. Danger ahead. And praise the Lord, as we get into chapter 6 today and move into chapter 6, we're going to see that he's even equipped us with armor to not only protect ourselves, to be also advancing against the enemy as we seek to use our hands and our voices for Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, we are looking specifically at Ephesians 5, 20 and 21, and we're trying to understand what it means to submit to one another. Boy, can I just say that right up front? Submission is not a dirty word, because we live in a culture and a society that says the word submission is a dirty word. I have gone through, and typically marriage counseling with me takes about 13 weeks. So as I'm sitting down with a couple and we're going through marriage counseling, usually this word will come up. And I usually have one of two reactions. One reaction is no reaction. Okay, that's fine. And the other reaction is a very violent reaction. That word will not be used in my vows. Usually from the female. And what does that tell me? That tells me when we get to the family background section, I need to go back and see, okay, what kind of father did you have? What kind of brothers did you have? What has been the male influence in your life, and how have they treated you? See, submission is not a dirty word when we understand it as God has given to us. The problem is we see what the world has done to the word, and we see even what Christian men have done to the word, and they use that word in a way to abuse and elevate themselves. And if you truly understand the purpose and the meaning of the word, it is not to elevate yourself, but it is to elevate others above yourself. And I have found that if there is a woman who has who's had some men in her life who have elevated her and respected her and loved her as Christ loved the church, she usually doesn't have vomit come out of her mouth when I use the word. So let's look at this word today and let's try to understand it. And the context in which God is teaching us this word is a very familiar context to you. It is family, which is why I've kind of called this third part of the walking in wisdom family-wise, because three examples are given to us. The example of husband and wife, parents and children, and then employer and employee. In the context specifically of this passage, it would have been bondservant, slave, and master. Well, that's illegal now. And so now we would put it in the context of employee-employer. And by the way, and I'm just going to mention it now because I'm not going to go into it in my text. In no way, when the Bible uses this example, is it glorifying the master-slave mentality then. It is simply acknowledging as a part of that culture at the time, and if in that relationship, this is how you should function. Okay? So, having said that, let's look at our text in Ephesians chapter 5, 20 and 21. We've been talking about the Spirit-filled life. And in verse 18, the Lord commands his people very specifically to be filled with the Spirit. Now keep in mind, this is very important for us to understand because husbands, you cannot be the husband you need to be unless you understand the filling of the Spirit in your life. Wives, you cannot be the wife that you need to be to your husband and letting him be the man that God created him to be unless you are filled with the Spirit. Children, you will never obey your parents in the Lord unless you are filled and motivated by the Spirit. The Spirit is the power and the controlling force that is necessary for this word submission to function in the way that God intended it to function. And without going into great detail, the example that it gives us is the idea of what alcohol does to a person. You know, I have been leading CR for a number of years now. And when I meet someone who has a struggle with alcohol in their life, you've seen where the alcoholism has controlled every aspect of their life. It controls their finances, their relationships, their job. Every aspect it controls. And until they find victory and are no longer controlled by that, it continues to have ill effects on their life. And likewise, the Spirit is to have that same effect, but in a positive way rather than a negative. So he's using a negative example. Paul is using a negative example to explain to us a positive principle, which is the Holy Spirit needs to control every aspect of your life so that you can be family wise. The person who is filled with the Holy Spirit will find themselves singing and praising and worshiping the Lord. Let's again look at verses 18 through 21. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to the God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. See, what we're talking about here is something to celebrate. So when I bring up the word submission and your immediate reaction is a negative one, let's get beyond that for a second. Let's set aside the cultural misunderstanding of the word submission in regard to submitting to one another. And let's realize that going into this, The Bible is telling us right up front, if we understand this principle, it will be a reason to celebrate with songs and celebration. If we understand this. The command to be filled with the Spirit cannot be separated from the command to sing and make melody in your heart. Neither can it be divorced from the command we find in verse 21. Look at verse 21. We do it in what? The fear of the Lord. In other words, we will be held accountable to how we function in regard to being family wise. God has an expectation of us. The Spirit-filled believer should be under the control of the Lord through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And according to verse 21, the Spirit-filled believer will also be humble and submissive. The command, verse 21, is submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Submission is an issue of humility. It's a mission. It's an understanding of who has complete authority in your life. And in this case, the text, Paul is saying to us that it's the Holy Spirit that should have the authority in your life. It should be Him who is controlling, guiding, counseling, and moving you in all these family relationships. And if we are not humble, we will miss the opportunity for that control in our life. Essentially, this is a command for us to be submissive. It's a command for us to live out the Spirit-filled life with a humility of heart that is only found in a servant. Which is why Jesus Christ said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. I came to be a servant. We're told in Scripture that many times in various ways that if we want to be a leader, we must first learn to serve. This morning, I want to just take a few minutes to consider verse 21, and I want us to understand what it means to be family-wise. So the first thing we see is its demand. What is the demand given to us in this text? Well, it's right there, the word submitting. The verse says, submitting yourselves to one another. The phrase is a command, not a suggestion. The phrase is a command, not a recommendation. He is speaking to believers, those who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to submit to one another. If this is something the Lord expects us to do, then we need to find out exactly what it is that we are to be doing, and we need to go about doing in our relationships with our wife, with our husbands, with our children, and with the people that we work with on a daily basis. The word translated. Okay, now let me just pause here, okay? I'm about to go into a discussion of this word submission. And as I do, I want you to hang with me. Don't judge me too quickly until I get to the end of the presentation of what the word submission means, okay? Because a lot of times what happens is I begin to say things like this word submission is a military term. And people check out immediately. But it really is a military term. It's about understanding authority and the place that God has put each one of us in the structure of our life. It's something that means to be in obedience, to be under, to arrange myself willingly under the authority that God has placed over me. It's a military term that refers to keeping one's rank. It has the idea of subordination. In this context, the word speaks to our relationships with others, and he plainly says, submitting yourselves one to another. Now, to give you and to keep that military theme, I will give you an example. A military leader of a ship. Who is the highest in command on that ship? The captain. And what is the captain's, when there is distress or there's a problem or the ship is going down, what is the captain's number one responsibility? His crew. Now, in order to save their lives, they have to be willing to obey his every command in the process of that emergency. And if they obey that command, his foot is the last one off of that ship. In other words, he puts his well-being and safety above everybody else that is there to serve him. So when you understand the context of what it means to lead, it means to serve. See, God has given a structure and order and purpose. In this verse, submission calls each one of us to consider ourselves subordinate to one another. In other words, I'm going to put Roger's needs above my own. Are you willing to put your needs in subjection to others around you? We live in a culture and a society that says that if you want to get it, you got to get yours first, right? You got to take care of you. Don't trust anybody. And that is a lie from the devil. We are to submit to one another, serve one another. This means that we are to consider ourselves the servants of others. It means that in everything, others are to come before we do. When we think of submitting to others, we often think of it as a weakness. And in truth, no one can make you submit to anyone. It's got to be a personal choice. But if you want all the relationships in your life to prosper, a submissive spirit must be present in your life. If we walk in selfishness, putting ourselves ahead of others, the fallout will destroy every relationship we value. If you as a husband put yourself above your wife and no longer serve her, then it will destroy your relationship. Likewise, wives, if you fail to love your husband as Christ loved the church, and understand that relationship, it will destroy that relationship. When we are submissive to one another, we are acting like Jesus. Before you think, well, I'm not going to submit myself to him. I'm not going to submit myself to her. She does not respect me. He does not respect me. How have you treated Christ in your lifetime? Romans 5:8 says we were his enemies, and yet he submitted himself to death on our behalf. The Bible says in John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that has sent me and to finish his work. Jesus often submitted himself to the will of the Father, not my will, but thine, Lord. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. I hear and I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. John 6:38, for I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who has sent me. See, the greatest examples of submission to the Father are found in the incarnation and in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus was submissive to the will of his Father. He lived his entire life serving the needs of others. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man has come not to be ministered to, but to minister to others, to give his life as a ransom for many. God himself abased himself, lowered himself so that he could serve us in the context of the cruelty of the cross. And in fact, we walk in submission to God and others. We are giving a concrete evidence that the Spirit of God is indwelling us. So what does that look like? Well, according to Galatians 5:23, a key component of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. When we walk in the Spirit, we exhibit temperance, which basically means self-control. When we put others first, we are controlling the impulse to exalt self. There is a powerful impulse within each and every one of us. It's called survival. It's called the old man, my flesh. But when we yield to the Spirit of God and enables to keep that desire, that natural sinful desire in check. I would also mention that the word love is a major component of the fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians 5:22. It is from love that we find the motivation to submit to one another. Love is the umbrella to obedience. From love stems my desire, my ability to walk in obedience to God. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. When we study true biblical love, it becomes clear that one way that love manifests itself is by putting others ahead of itself. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says that love seeks not its own. Love does not put itself first. See, biblical submission is about loving others ahead of yourself. Biblical submission is about being filled with the Spirit of God. Biblical submission is about being like Jesus in all our relationships. The command here is for us to love others like Jesus loves them, to serve others the way Jesus served them, to walk through this life submitted to the will of the Father just as Jesus did. See, in its simplest form, submission is about being like Jesus. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond to this person? By the way, our willingness to submit is a window into the condition of your heart. If you're fighting the very words that I'm saying to you, there's something wrong. There's a disconnect. If we yield to His command to submit to one another, it shows that we love God enough to trust Him, to put myself at risk to trust God. Are you willing to put yourself second and put yourself at risk so that others can see Christ in you? Or are you willing to say that God's truth is not enough, that God's sacrifice was not enough, it was insufficient, that I can't trust it, and if I can't trust the power of His sacrifice, then I'm going to have to place myself on the throne? Put myself first. Listen, I know my own heart. I know my own struggles. And I don't need to be ruling my kingdom. There's someone much wiser that not only has earned that right, but will do a much better job than me. And by me submitting myself to others is an acknowledgement that He is the one who's in control of my life, not self. When I demand my rights, my privilege, my position, we've lost sight of who we are and why we were created and who we are called to serve. So then not only is it demanded that we submit, but look at verse 21. It's described how that submission should look. And the phrase to one another is used. To one another. Obviously, the Lord is referring to our submission to other members of the family of God, but I think also it can be extended beyond that. See, as a believer, when I fail to submit to my responsibility in regard to the Great Commission, then I'm not submitting to those who are without Christ who need to hear the truth of that. In other words, I'm putting myself above them and I'm not submitting to them. I'm holding back. So truly, our submission goes beyond just other believers in Christ. But when we give the gospel to others and we are walking in obedience to the Great Commission, we are submitting our own time, our own endeavor for the greater good of their salvation. And we are submitting ourselves to them, which is why it's so important that you come to Sunday school, because we talked about that in Sunday school lesson this morning, the Great Commission. And which is why important that you get to a life group tonight, because life group tonight, we're going to hand out our great new books, The Disciples' Path, which is going to help us all become disciple makers. In other words, putting others first before ourselves. I want to explore this phrase, one to another, real quick. To one another. Obviously, the Lord is referring to our submission. But one key to what the Lord is saying here is found in the verses that follow, specifically to what Paul is saying in the context of verses 22 through chapter 6, verse 9. And those are the three categories we're going to look at: husband and wife, parent and child, and then employer and employee. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 32 refers to the relationship between husbands and wives. In marriage, there is the common idea that wives are to be in submission to their husbands. That is not a stretch, because that's exactly what the Bible teaches. That's not where the problem is. The problem is understanding clearly what the word submission again means. It's the misunderstanding of the word submission that becomes problematic for us when we come to this part of the passage. God tells wives to submit to their husbands. He tells both mates to be in submission to the other. By the way, we miss that. We always focus on the fact, and partially because guys, we like to remind our wives of that, right?
Well, God says you're to submit to me, that I'm the husband.
Well, you know, down on the end where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, he submitted himself to the church. So it just said it differently, but it's the same thing. It's submission on both ends. It's not a contradiction. God has vested leadership in the home to the husband. The man is the spiritual leader in the home. And yet far too many men take the submission of the wife to mean that they can somehow throw around their weight in the home. So many men try to overrule their wives by demanding they submit. Gentlemen, if you have to demand your wife submit to your leadership, you're doing it wrong. Oftentimes, with this attitude, you will find men who act like tyrants in their home, not lovers, not friends. The wife can't make a decision unless the husband approves it. The wife can't spend money unless the husband approves it. The wife can't do anything unless somehow the husband approves it. What a tragedy of a relationship that is. Only a fool acts that way in a relationship with a spouse. Because you are not going to get the desired effect. You are not functioning biblically with that mindset. See, biblically, the man is to lead, not from a position of authority, but from a position of love. Look at Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The fact is, men, you can't love your wife unless you are submitted to her as her servant. How's that, ladies? your little manservant sitting next to you right now. Men seem to forget that spiritual leadership begins by servitude. We are to do everything we can to see our wives and our children prosper, be healthy, to become the people that God has saved them to be. The man is to help them grow in the Lord. He is to help them develop their spiritual gifts for the glory of God. If they're lost, he is to help them come to Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're a man of the house, then you're to be the servant of your family. You are to be Christ to them. Not in the sense that you can save them, but in the sense that you love them more than anything. You love them more than you love your own life. You are willing to give your life sacrificially, selflessly for their good. The fact is, submission is a two-way street. Submission is the marriage. Submission in the marriage is to be mutual. Husbands are to submit to God and to their wives. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4 speaks about relationship between parents and children. This is another relationship that has been culturally misunderstood. We live in a culture where parents just want to be friends with their kids rather than parents. And so, children in our culture today are entitled because we've catered to their every whim and we failed to lead them. Children are to submit to the leadership or the headship of the parents in their home. They are to obey their parents. And notice the context of that obedience. Obey your parents in what? In the fear of the Lord. Children, when you disobey your parents, you are disobeying, and I'm going to say it this way for effect, God. You're not disobeying your parents. You're disobeying God. God has providentially, sovereignly placed them in your life to give you comfort and direction. Now, careful parents, don't get proud or eager on this, because if you've not been loving them and you've been provoking them, something's wrong. They're not going to want to obey you if all you do is pick and lord over them. Remember, to lead means to serve. Children are to obey their parents. Their submission to their parents honors the Lord and brings his blessings into their lives. Before Paul moves away from the parent-child relationship, he speaks clearly to the fathers here again. Guys, I don't know why we always get excited about this passage as men, because actually most of the responsibility for this whole passage here is laid upon you as the men of the house. She will respond when you lead her the way that God has told you to lead her. Your children will respond when you choose to lead them the way God has chosen you. A lot of responsibility, guys. So before you get all proud and you do one of these things, you know, with the fact that God has chosen you to be head of the home, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. You set the stage. You begin the process. Fathers are commanded to raise their children with grace. They are not to dominate their children with ruthless power. They are to raise them with a Christ-like spirit. They are to help their children reach their fullest potential in Jesus Christ. And if the commands in these verses are to be carried out, there must be mutual submission. Children have to submit to the authority of the parents, and parents are to serve their children by loving them and patiently guiding them in God's truth. But then in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, we see the third example of how submission is described. And that deals with the context of the bondservant and the master. And for the sake of the fact that slavery is no longer legal, we will understand this, interpret this to mean the employee and employer relationship. That is how you function outside of your home and how the people view you. The modern comparison, again, is employer and employee. And in that relationship, there must be, again, mutual submission. The employee is to yield to the demands of his employer. He is to do what he is told and give his employer a good day's work. There's nothing more discouraging than when I hear of a Christian who is vocal about the fact that they're Christian and all they do is take advantage of the people that they work for, or they're lazy and they don't give a good hard day's work. There's something beautiful about a believer when they go to work and they give their very best and they stand above the crowd and how they function. What an honor that is to the Lord. In this relationship, if it's to work, we need to do everything that we need to do to understand the goals and the purposes within the construct of God's truth. Now, if they ask you to do something that is against God's word and it is in contradiction to the truth of God's word, then you have to draw a line. But short of that, we are there to serve the one who's given us the job. If we find ourselves working for an employee or employer who's a lost person, think of how important it is for you to understand this principle. Think of the opportunity you have to let your light shine by doing your very best in that workplace. And when people ask, why do you work so hard? Why do you do such a good job? You have an opportunity to allow your good works glorify your Father in heaven. When we look at these three examples, what Paul is commanding here is nothing short of amazing. In that culture, it was common for women, children, and slaves to submit to those in authority over them. Women had very few rights. Children and slaves literally had no rights, and men dominated the culture. So you have to understand the radical nature of what Paul is saying here in the context of the culture that it was given. Christianity came along and changed the whole dynamic of ancient society. Man, woman, and children and slaves were placed now at the same level, commanded to submit to one another. God commands every person in the family of God to submit to every other person in the family of God. This was a game changer. Which leads us to our third phrase in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Why do we do it? The motivation. We walk in obedience for the glory of God. It's directed to God. It is in the fear of God. This phrase is another phrase that is misunderstood in our culture and society today. What does it mean to fear God? The word fear, translated from the Greek, is where we get the word phobia. It often refers to alarm, terror, and fear. However, this word has a secondary meaning. And it's used in regard to reverence. Reverence. The word here speaks of a holy reverence of God. It speaks of a reverence for God that respects Him above all other authorities. This reverence to God manifests itself in complete obedience to Him in regard to His will for our lives. When we fear God, we will submit to Him. We cannot submit to Him unless we are submitting to one another. When we are submitted to him, we have no problem submitting to one another. In our home, in our society, in our job, or in our church. When we are submitted to God, we will practice mutual submission to our spouses, our parents, our children, our bosses, our employees, and others, our neighbors. Our submission to God is not rooted in our fear of him as a cruel tyrant who will squash us like a grape. We don't fear him because we think he might judge us and condemn us for our own shortcomings, although he can do any of those things at any given moment. Our fear of God and our submission to him is rooted in our love for him. He loved us and gave himself for us and redeemed us from our sin and adopted us into his family. And because of that, we have this great we admire him in such a way that we long to obey him. Admiration. I don't know why I couldn't say it just a second ago. Just wanted you to know I could say the word. What does this mean? This means that our submission to others begins with our submission to God. That's it. Very simply. When we are submitted to the Lord, we will have no problem submitting to one another. Our submission in all the relationships of our life is a direct result of our love for, our fear of, God. When he holds the proper place in our lives, others will hold the proper place in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your truth. Father, I pray that we would be family wise. I pray that we would walk in such a way that allows our light to shine in the darkness. Father, I pray for the relationships between our husbands and wives. I pray for the relationships of the parents to their children. I pray for our relationships in our workplace. And Father, I pray that we would love you and fear you and admire you enough that we would put them above ourselves. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.